now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Welcome, everybody, to Pancakes and Power Shows live tonight, coming to you. The best commentary on wrestling. Chris Featherstone will not be on tonight. Actually, I'm sorry, he will be on tonight, not until later. He is recovering from back surgery. Until then, you have me, Derek, the Raw correspondent, sitting in for him to enlighten you with Pancakes and Power Slams, wrestling in general, just anything and everything we can absolutely do to make wrestling that much better for you. So with Pancakes and Power Slams, again, we want to give a shout out to Chris Featherstone, the creator, the godfather of Pancakes and Power Slams. Hope to a speedy recovery. Again, he will be joining us later tonight. So let's get things going, get it rolling. A lot have happened this week on wrestling, Monday Night Raw in general. So let's see what we got going. You started out with John Cena, and he came out rattling out his gums. You hear the trumpets rumbling. So we had to listen to him for a while. I've never been a huge Cena fan. However, I do believe that Cena is probably one of the better superstars, I suppose, of the last 10 years. However, that's aside from the reason. We do have John Cena, and he's going to be facing Ryback at the next pay-per-view. It's called Payback. And it's going to be a three stages of hell match. You don't see those too often. There's been a couple before in the past. So we'll see how that goes. The three stages of hell consists of, first off, a lumberjack match, which is where there'll be a multitude of superstars outside of the ring to make sure that none of them come out of the ring. Their job is to simply just push them back into the ring and see how that goes. It's the best two out of three falls. That would be the first fall. Second fall, looks like it's going to be tables. There's going to be a table match. Everyone's seen a table match. Most notoriety, the tables, ladders, and chairs. So we'll see how the table match goes, who should win that. And then again, lastly, of course, Ryback's been promoting this ambulance match. He was an EMT in his past life, and no one's really sure how this is going to go. So, best two out of three falls. It should be a pretty exciting match. Ryback's pretty much kind of diminished himself. Not really, his hype really disappointed a lot of people. And myself, I'm disappointed. How can you build somebody who's going to consistently lose? Throw him against Cena at the last second. It could be good for him. It also could be suicide. If Ryback does not come through with a win, is Ryback really that credible? And, of course, that's yet to come. Again, the Payback pay-per-view will be coming up at the end of this month. Next month. And, after that, you had Paul Heyman comes out. Comes out with Curtis Axel. He challenges Cena to a match. Cena accepts. Again, Curtis Axel, if you haven't heard recently, he is the son of probably one of the best performers in ring, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. And he's got a lot to live up to. I mean, he's a third-generation wrestler. He's paid some of his dues, as he paid them all to get the push that he has. His name alone, I think, probably yes. But maybe not. So, however, we'll see where that goes. And actually, I'll let you know where that goes when we continue with Monday Night Raw. However, I would like to start out with a trivia question. Everyone on this show loves trivia. And let's see what we got here. How about who was billed as Hollywood Hulk Hogan's nephew in WCW? I'd like to check and see if anybody can get that. Again, live in the chat room, you can always call in. My name is Derek. I'd be happy to argue, talk with you, converse, see what your opinions are on Monday Night Raw, wrestling, anything upcoming. Again, Chris Featherstone, the founder of Pancakes and Power Slams, will be on the air here shortly, and give him some time to recuperate. But he is doing well. He wouldn't miss Pancakes and Power Slams for the world, unless possibly Sting was over at his house for dinner, which, you know, if Sting came over to my house for dinner, I would still do the show. Not a big Sting fan. That's another thing. So after that, we do have Big E Langston. He went up against Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio is, he's been on a kind of a high, kind of a low lately. Yeah, Big E Langston, you know, with an assist of AJ exposing a turnbuckle, it's same thing, turnbuckle, knocked out Big E Langston, Alberto got the win, and he continues on with his trek. Looks like he's probably over with Jack Swagger for a while. However, we don't really know what's going on with Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. So, and after that, you know, Dean Ambrose versus Kofi Kingston, and Dean Ambrose, again, has the win. I'm all for Dean Ambrose. I'm all for the Shield. I'm a huge Shield fan. I really think that they're an up-and-coming in the world of professional wrestling. They are a stable that is very strong. If we're going to watch them grow, then obviously, you know, Dean Ambrose is... kind of looks like he could be the leader. I don't want to say anything to discourage any one of the other two when you have, you know, Reigns and Rollins. However, Ambrose seems to really kind of hit the vein of what the Shield really is. Kudos to that. Let's keep going. Of course, Kofi lost with help from the steps and a table. Standing Bulldog, Kofi was done. And that also transitioned into a good intro into the next match, which was surprisingly Team Hell No against Reigns and Rollins. Reigns and Rollins rule supreme. Team Hell No, you had a weak link chant going. Daniel Bryan pretty much cost him the match because he feels he is a weak link. Will this eventually turn into the end for Team Hell No? We certainly hope not, but, you know, anything good will never last, especially in wrestling. So we go into, you know, the tag team right now seems to really be on an uprising as far as what it used or has been probably within the last 5 to 7 years. You know, with, you know, you got Team Hell No, and how can you argue with something like that? Tons of Funk, as much as I don't really think they're that great, they have stuck around a lot longer than I ever thought they would. With the combo with Funkasaurus and, of course, with Albert, or Lord Tensai, whatever his name is now, we do. I don't want to see Team Hell No break up just yet, but I think it's probably in the cards. Kane's not going to put up with it much longer. Kane's a different story. I don't like him losing to everybody. But, you know, Team Hell No, keep the momentum going, just not against the Shield. That seems to be your barrier right now. If you can just get against Reigns and Rollins, but the Shield, they're dominating. I don't see them losing their domination anytime soon. If anything, they'll just continue to grow, continue to make, you know, Team Hell No life a living hell, as long as they want to keep on wrestling them and making examples of them. However, after that, it was a great tag team match. I'm really glad I got to see that. After that, we have The Miz. He's a guest referee, and a great match. And the best thing about that match is, again, Fandango wins. I knew he would win. That's the whole thing that made Monday Night Raw for me. I am a huge Fandango fan. Of course, it's kind of a gimmick spot. I don't expect a whole lot from him, but I'm enjoying the Fandango. Just the whole hype behind him really fit me. The snobbiness, the arrogance, I've always liked that. And he really seems to play that well. However, Miz, again, guest ref. Fandango danced all over Wade Barrett. But, of course, Miz helped him out. I'll give the Miz that much. He is an awesome referee as much as he is awesome itself. Miz being a Cleveland boy really strikes me of having that attitude that, you know, anything can go. He is in charge of anything that he does. So, again, awesome job at being a ref. I will take that anytime over Mike Chioda. However, and after that, 3MB versus the Great Khali and Tons of Funk. 3MB, I never really took them seriously. I think just from watching Monday Night Raw, you can understand why. They're really not much of anything. You know, Heath Slater, he seemed to be better on his own. And again, I've got, like I mentioned earlier, Tons of Funk. I did not expect him to last this long. It's been over a year. When Funkasaurus was there by himself, and then, of course, he teamed up with Lord Tensai, who was Prince Albert. We have an answer, and yes. Who was billed as Hollywood Hulk Hogan's nephew in WCW? We do have a right answer in the tweets. Horace Hogan. Horace Hogan, of course, was part of the NWO after Hollywood Hogan reshaped the world of professional wrestling, especially WCW, creating the rival NWO. Next trivia question. Who in the WWE, who was the Dream Team's manager? If you can remember back to Brutus Beefcake. Who was the Dream Team's manager? Brutus Beefcake, Dino Bravo. Let me know if you can figure that out. And, of course, always call in 347-884-8452 is the call-in number. To have yourself heard on Pancakes and Power Slams. Again, Chris Featherstone will be coming up shortly to give you a little bit of news on SmackDown, TNA, and Ring of Honor, of course. We will have the flavor of the week. We got a tweet. No, Jimmy Hart is not correct. I'm sorry. Jimmy Hart is not correct. I seem to have stumped some people tonight. We're trying to get our chat room up and going. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties, but please stick with us. Pancakes and Power Slams, as always, it's Tuesday night. Talking about wrestling, new wrestling, old wrestling, whatever anybody wants to talk about. 347-884-8452 is the number to call to have yourself heard. And so let's carry on with some more Monday Night Raw. Of course, Monday Night Raw last night was in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, which everyone knows is the hometown of the Hart family, Stu, Owen, Brett, Billy, Mickey, Spot, Rover. There's a ton of Harts. And also, I'd kind of like to know, once we get the chat room up and going, again, call in, what are your favorite Monday Night Raw Brett Hart moments? There's a lot of them. I can think of a lot more than just Monday Night Raw if you want to go all the way back to the 80s. However, that's showing my age. Let's not do that. So, again, Bret Hart, he is a legend. The best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. Excellence of execution. It was Bret Hart Appreciation Night. Some of the superstars showed what some might consider appreciation. So, again, what do you think of Bret the Hitman Hart? Is he everything he was cracked up to be? What do you think about him in WCW? Monday Night Raw, again, probably one of my favorite Bret Hart moments. I like the Hart Foundation of the mid-late 90s, when it was him, Owen, Davey Boy Smith, Brian Pillman was in there, and It was a camaraderie. He was more of a heel. He was always seen as a hero, but he was more of a heel during that era. But I thought that brought the best out in him. And so we'll go on with Monday Night Raw. And we've got the Y2J highlight reel. That was a very exceptional show last night with the highlight reel. Of course, he brings out Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman kind of goes out on a limb and says, you know, Y2J, I gave you your big break. Before he was Y2J, he was Chris Jericho. He was called the Lionheart. He was trained by Stu Hart up in Calgary. He was also toured in Japan a lot, I believe. Over in Japan, New Japan World Wrestling, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Over in Japan. But anyway, to bring that up, Paul Heyman, in a way, did bring Chris Jericho to light as far as America Wrestling TV is concerned. As much as I despise Paul Heyman, he is a brilliant mind in the professional wrestling scene. He's brought up, he gave a lot of people their up-and-comings, their deals, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Raven. He even brought back Terry Funk to give him the last few great matches of his career. So Paul Heyman, a great wrestling mind. He's good at what he does. He wants everyone to hate him. He wants everyone to know that he is tries to be the sneaky manager that he is, but he has come to be a lot more than that. Again, he builds himself to be this great agent, and he has done just that. However, going back to the highlight reel, Y2J questions Heyman about CM Punk, the Straight Edge superstar. A possible match at Payback sounds like it's going to work. Myself, never been a Punk fan, almost kind of forgot about him until Y2J brought him up last night. Kind of exciting. Y2J, again, can make anyone look great. I know he's wrestled CM Punk in the past. Y2J is a phenomenal talent. I'll say that all the time. You know, Y2J ranks up there with me, with the Kurt Hennigs, with the Bret Hart at their time, the Shawn Michaels. And the CM Punk to come back, face somebody like Y2J, is that going to hurt or break his career, seeing how he was just on a career high, facing The Undertaker? CM Punk's got to do something. He's still a good draw. People get behind him. Him and Y2J, kind of the former bad guy of wrestling to the new bad guy of wrestling. Again, not a big Punk fan, but I can see where this could draw a lot of cheeks in the seats as far as pay-per-view, Monday Night Raw goes. I'm all for it. And again, anybody with Paul Heyman is going to go somewhere. At least it seems that way for the most part. Paul Heyman has great intentions in mind. Vince McMahon trusts Paul Heyman to run with his superstars, to run backstage in WWF. So that's my take on that. Y2J, of course, always the best as far as WD's got going right now. So we'll keep that in mind. Yes, Luscious Johnny Valiant is the correct answer for the manager of the Dream Team. Let's see, their claim to fame, probably early mid-80s. Not sure if they won the title. I'm trying to think. I know they had a big rouse in WrestleMania 3, 1987 Pontiac Silverdome. They lost, and I think that's when Brutus Beefcake kind of cut his ties from the team and went on his separate ways. But that was way back then. Let's go back to now. Next trivia question. Let's fire out a few of these as we go. We're getting a lot of tweets. Again, the chat room is under construction. We'll be getting that going up and running. And but please continue to listen. 347-884-8452 is the number. Pancakes and Power Slams. Voice your opinion. I am the Raw correspondent, Derek, filling in for Chris Featherstone at the moment. He will be on, so please stay tuned. Everybody wants to hear what he has to think about Raw, SmackDown, everything overall. And at this moment, let me bring up the flavor of the week tonight is kind of a unique one. Flavor of the week, scratch your head, turn back the vault. There was a time in WCW when it was probably the all-time worst shape that it could be. maybe not as bad as the early 2000s with Vince Russo. But there's a time from 1988 to 1992 when there's a gentleman named Jim Herd was in charge of talent and booking. And anyway, if you can remember Jim Herd, his contributions to WCW and to wrestling itself, some of the characters he brought up will be the flavor of the week. That's slotted for a later time on the program. And again, Jim Herd, if you know anything about him, remember him from WCW, you know, the absolute biggest abomination that probably could have ever happened in wrestling other than the WCW Vince Russo times. So, heading back to Monday Night Raw. After the CM Punk and Y2J luau, we have Sheamus and Randy Orton versus the Rhodes Scholars. Again, it was another great tag team match. Randy Orton, again, is coming up from where he was for the last maybe 4 to 5 years, starting to kind of more make of a name of himself. Him and Sheamus together, you can't do wrong with that. The Rhodes Scholars, you know, Cody Rhodes is, I think he's a great talent. He has the name, obviously, the great Dusty Rhodes, but he is an awesome in-ring talent. I believe he is pretty much carrying the Rhodes Scholars. Sheamus pinned Sandow. Sandow's been pinned 3 or 4 times in a row now on Monday Night Raw. Sandow is, he kind of reminds me, if you remember, of a leaping Lanny Poffo when he was the genius of early 1990s WWF programming. Has that arrogant smugness about him, but really when it comes down to it, he's pretty much a jobber. You know, he has a few high spots. But other than that, he's kind of a waste of time. Not a big Sandow fan, could be, but you can clearly see who the talent is in that tag team. It is Corey Rhodes, and even more than Corey Rhodes, Cody Rhodes. Even more than Cody Rhodes, it is his mustache. Yeah, another great tag team match. WWE's tag teams recently have really caught my attention. Hope it continues to go in that direction. Winning team people, Sheamus and Randy Orton. I mean, two superstars that are individually on their own can keep your attention. Put them together against Cody Rhodes and the Lane Sandow. You're going to get a great match regardless. After that, you know, Cena versus Curtis Axel. Like, we cannot get past that name of Curtis Axel. It makes no sense of why it is what it is. He's had several names in the past on the independent circuit that were way much better. But then Curtis Axel. It's not gelling with me. Kind of kills from the potential of this particular gentleman. However, he goes up against Cena. You know, Curtis Axel wins. He is still undefeated. Let's keep it at that. He wins via countout, however. But we will keep that. Might as well. It's going to be fun to see how he develops and grows. Being with Paul Heyman, as I mentioned earlier, really knows what he's doing and talking about when it comes to his superstars. But continuing with Raw, Ryback comes in, ambushes Cena, puts him in an ambulance, gets taken away. But he gets knocked out, pretty much. You know, same thing with Ryback. He's really pushing this ambulance match. We'll see at the next pay-per-view, Payback, 3 Stages of Hell, Cena and Ryback. I almost see Cena taking this. I'll be surprised if Ryback does. Don't know where the WWE is going to go compared to what they've already done with Cena. And again, Curtis Axel, this still overshadows him. He's been overshadowed. He needs his due if they're going to make anything of him. So we just really need to keep that going. Curtis Axel, they can think of a better name than that. I'm almost tired of it. But we're going to take a call real quick. It looks like, hey, it's our it's the founder of Pancakes and Power Slams, Chris Featherstone. He is back to take over, let you know how SmackDown went, his thoughts on Ring of Honor and TNA. Everyone give him a warm welcome. Everyone call in. Talk to Chris, 347-884-8452. I'm going to bring him on here in a second. And again, just let us know everything you can do. Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for holding it down. Fantastic job. Derek, the Raw correspondent / Pancakes and Power Slams special host for tonight, man. Great job. Thank you very much. As far as I'm going to go to SmackDown here, but I got a few things, and I, as you know, Derek can explain them. Recovering from back surgery, but thanks everybody for their tweets and emails of support. It is a long recovery, but I did manage to garner some energy and call in and host as much as I can of the show. I need to rest. I was under doctor's orders to get a lot of rest, but ain't nothing that a little bit of pancakes and power slams can't be. It is therapy as well. So I am here, and we're going to make this happen. Before I go to SmackDown, I do want to talk about some things on Raw here. The three Stages of Hell match, interesting concept. And as the previous three Stages of Hell matches, Derek mentioned, has only been less than a handful of them. Then the most memorable of them was probably No Way Out 2001, I believe. I think it was Triple H against Stone Cold Steve Austin. No Way Out 2001. Actually, Triple H won that match. But that was probably the most memorable one to my knowledge. There's been a couple of good ones, a couple other good ones too. But I don't know if I buy that with John Cena and Ryback, because usually the people who are in the Three Stages of Hell match actually at least could put together a good match. I mean, say what you want about John Cena. The whole world knows I'm not a Cena fan, but Cena has gotten to the point where he can put on a good match with the people who also can put on good matches. Like Edge is probably one of his best rivals. He has some good matches with Edge, has some good matches with Shawn Michaels as well, Triple H. So he can put on a good match. But Ryback, on the other hand, Ryback is all about aggression and brutality, and I don't know if he'll be able to handle the longevity of a 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, I do understand that there's gimmicks behind it, so it'll kind of be a fresh match each fall. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll buy the Cena Ryback match. I am looking forward to it just because there hasn't been a Three Stages of Hell match in quite some time. Dario and Big E Langston, there's some dissension there with Big E Langston losing, AJ kind of doing the traditional pull off the turnbuckle rest or pull off the turnbuckle, trying to help Big E, but it was to his undoing. So, I don't know, it may be the start of a Big E face turn, which he, you know, is known to be a very over face in NXT, so we can see that. We knew that the Shield was going to win against both Team Hell No and Kofi Kingston, so that, I think the writing was on the wall there. Segment with Bret Hart and Daniel Bryan was pretty funny. Fandango and Wade Barrett, which is kind of off to me. But I do like how the match was booked, because basically it seems as if we're going to get a triple threat match at Payback between Miz, Wade Barrett, and Fandango. And I'm okay with that. Like I said, I compare Fandango to Val Venus. I don't even know if he's going to it will surprise me to even give Fandango a mid-card title. but he just may be the next Intercontinental Champion. I think that his ship is sailing, but he may be Intercontinental Champion by the time Payback is up. Great Khali and Tons of Funk, the happy birthday was pretty funny. Let me go into the Jericho's highlight reel with Paul Heyman. Now, contrary to what Derek believes, I am opposed to this match. I'm opposed to another Jericho and Punk match. The setup was very odd. It was very kind of spontaneous or impromptu, really. And I think that if you want to build a match of that caliber, I think that, I mean, they spent so much building it for WrestleMania last year. They spent even more time building it for Extreme Rules. Yeah, they did have a random match on Raw that was very good. But Punk possibly, now he did accept. Now, this even may be Paul Heyman saying, I accept him on CM Punk's part, and then CM Punk saying, well, you know, I didn't accept. So that may be some dissension between the two there. They may start a Punk, you know, slowly turning babyface, which I don't want to see. I think Punk is a far better heel. But he's over, though. He's way over as a face, but I prefer him as a heel. I don't want to see another Chris Jericho and CM Punk match. Now, if Chris Jericho actually wins the matches or won a match against CM Punk, it would do for better TV. But, and everybody knows Chris Jericho, as far as, you know, wrestlers, as far as modern-day wrestlers, the past, you know, the WWE, the past, you know, nearly 15 years, he's been my favorite wrestler, and I've been a big Jericho fan ever since the ECW days. So Paul Heyman is right. He won the TV title in ECW, his first big break. But Jericho is putting people over. Jericho just is in the putting people over business. He doesn't have an impressive win-loss record to go against the returning CM Punk. At that time, he'll be gone for over 2 months, and I don't think that the hype is there as much as it could have been. Now, if you brought Jericho back and he had a more impressive record, that could work. But who actually? I mean, I would hope that would be great if it happens. But CM Punk is going to get just a slew of applause and cheers in his hometown. Jericho's way over too, so you know he'll get his fair share of cheers as well. But I don't know. I think choosing a better opponent for CM Punk would have been a lot better in CM Punk's hometown because Jericho is a legend, you know, in the making, a shooting Hall of Famer. But WWE hasn't booked him to be as impressive enough to go against the returning CM Punk. And the thing is with that, CM Punk has defeated him every single time they fall on a one-on-one match. So he beat him at WrestleMania 28. He beat him at Extreme Rules. And he beat him at Raw this year. So, I mean... CM Punk, this is unfortunate how they're booking this, but CM Punk defeating Chris Jericho is just another match, just another notch in CM Punk's victory column. And it should have been way more than that. But if we see another CM Punk versus Chris Jericho match, I mean, there's nothing big to that whatsoever. So hopefully we don't see it, but if we do see it, it's nothing really to... the match is going to be great, but I don't see CM Punk losing in his hometown, returning. Bellas against Natalya and Kaylin. Kaylin loses a match on her birthday. That was kind of cruel. Couple of Bret Hart appearances, like I said, Daniel Bryan, and talked to Curtis Axel backstage. They're really trying to push this Curtis Axel. And I've told you before, I like Joe Hennig a lot. I think he has a ton of potential, but in a minute, I'll let you know how I feel about what we're seeing. I will say this before I go into that. Sheamus and Randy Orton has the potential to be a really good, credible tag team for the Shield's tag team titles. I don't like their name. I don't like what Michael Cole was calling them. I believe it was the Celtic Vipers. That's just an ugly name. Only one of them is a Viper, and only one of them is Celtic. So to call them the Celtic Vipers kind of includes both of them in those categories. Don't like it. But I do think they would be a good team to contend against the Shield. And then we saw the WWE app Sheamus was saying that it's been 6 weeks and it's still, you know, he's still thinking about the loss. So I'm fine with Sheamus and Randy Orton going against the Shield. Maybe some dissension between those two. But that's one of the matches that is set to take place at SummerSlam. So this could be kind of the seed planted. They win a few matches and get some momentum, and then they lose against the Shield, and then Orton finally makes his heel turn. So that can go like that. Bray Wyatt promo. For those who don't know who Bray Wyatt is, he was Husky Harris in the New Nexus, but glad that they gave him some love. He definitely is making some noise in NXT. And then finally, the Curtis Axel and John Cena match. I mean, it was a decent match, but again, it took a lot of steam off of Curtis Axel because similar to Triple H, the focus is on Triple H. The focus is on John Cena. So, you know, I don't like it. I don't like the name. I mean, they changed his music this week. The music's not that good. I don't think that Curtis Axel will be as good as we want him to be. I want him to be an exceptional. I want him to be over. I want him to be at least an upper mid-card status, but just random count-out victories against top names. I mean, Tensai did the same thing, and at least he made some type of rebound, but he only was over as an upper mid-carder for a few weeks, and then he started jobbing here, just left and right. And so, I don't know. So far, I'm not sold on Curtis Axel. I like Joe Hennig, but I'm not sold on Curtis Axel, the gimmick. So we'll see how far that goes. All right, let's go to SmackDown. Just to recap here, Miz TV featuring Fandango, interrupted by Wade Barrett. Talks down to Fandango, gets into it with the Miz, sets up a match for the IC title. Miz defeats Wade Barrett by disqualification due to interference by Fandango. Daniel Bryan defeats Jack Swagger. It was actually a good match. I like how the fact that they was kind of making Daniel Bryan kind of refuel his aggression and not being such an underdog. I like that. Damian Sandow entering promo explains the history of the Gordian Knot, challenges Matt Stryker to untie it, but Stryker is unable. Sheamus appears and steps up to the Gordian Knot challenge, and Sandow interrupts and uses a bolt cutter to untie the knot. Avoids a broke kick, but Sheamus throws Stryker onto Sandow. Chris Jericho defeats Big Show by countout. Now, I do like how they booked this match. Very surprised that they actually let Jericho beat Big Show at all. And then Big Show had the opportunity to get some retribution post-match for bringing in a chair, and even Jericho capitalize on that by hitting by kicking the chair in the show and then using it against him. So, you know, good way to build some steam for Jericho, but I don't think that they should be doing these things to try to revive any steam that Chris Jericho could have. He doesn't need to go through these things to become relevant again as far as a top player. Just bad. Just the how they're booking him is just not good overall. Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel in-ring promo. Then Axel defeats Sin Cara. Dean Ambrose against Kofi Kingston. Shield interferes, and Randy Orton and Sheamus makes the save. And then Teddy Long does his old school interference and changing the match like Teddy Long does so well. And switches it to a six-man tag team match. Just, you gotta love Teddy Long. He's just a staple in the WWE, and as many people don't like him being general manager or any type of authoritative role for this long, I think that it's needed. I like the fact that they're giving Teddy Long a spot. He's worked hard. He's worked his butt off for a number of years to get to this point, being part of the ring crew, and then becoming a referee for so long with the NWA territories, and becoming a manager, and just working his way up over the past 30 years. You really have to give it to Teddy Long for having this type of position. So say what you want, but I definitely am fine with Teddy Long filling that position. All right, and then the Shield defeating Kofi, Sheamus, and Orton. Great match there. Let's go to Impact Wrestling, live in Tampa, Florida, Hulk Hogan's hometown. You know, Hulk Hogan in-ring promo brings out Sting. Sting cuts a promo and stutters during the promo. Sting, you know, is my all-time favorite wrestler, and Derek may be right about the whole dinner with Sting. If I was having dinner with Sting, though, I would tell him to be a guest on Pancakes and Power Slam. So that's the only thing that I would tweak as far as Derek's assessment there. But, I mean, you know, as much as it hurts me to say this, I think it's time for Sting to go ahead and turn in the boots. I think this should be his farewell tour. I think that he should have one more title reign as a proper send-off. Rick Hogan comes out, takes the blame about to resign as a VP of Knockouts, and then Bully Ray comes out and cuts a promo. Suicide defeating Joey Ryan and Petey Williams. Now, we've seen different incarnations of Suicide when he was Christopher Daniels has been Suicide. Kazarian has been Suicide. Kiyoshi has been Suicide. But TJ Perkins was Suicide here, and he was just phenomenal. I think TJ Perkins, for this type of X Division action that we've been seeing, I think that TJ Perkins is the best version of Suicide that they can have. Just the quickness and just the just the moveset that Perkins has. He's been on TNA before. He's been on ROH as well, so I'll follow him in the Indies and in ROH and previously TNA. He had a couple of appearances up there. He was even in the One Eye Only pay-per-view, the Extravaganza, I believe. But he's a phenomenal talent. And I'm very glad that they chose him to be the version of Suicide. So we'll see more of him. He's actually in the Ultimate X match for this coming. This is the pay per view Slammiversary, which is this Sunday. Chris Sabin offers to be James Storm's tag team partner at Slammiversary, and then Storm respectfully declines. Ace of the Nation jump Sam Shaw in the ring. Magnus makes the save and call out Ace of the Nation. Magnus defeats Wes Briscoe by disqualification due to interference by Ace of the Nation, and then Samoa Joe returns and makes the save. Good to see Joe back. I really like the team of Joe and Magnus. They really have excellent chemistry. Ken Anderson defeats Kurt Angle due to a low blow and a roll-up. AJ Styles distracted Kurt Angle. Gail Kim backstage interview attacked by Taryn Terrell. Then we get the James Storm in-ring segment. He's about to chew his partner for Slammiversary. Then he's interrupted by Aries and Rude, and then Bad Influence. Shark Boy in his Steve Austin-esque gimmick, which was really funny to me. He does a great job. And then Robbie come out to state their case to Beast Storm's partner. And then Gunner appears from the crowd and takes out both Sharkboy and Robbie, and Storm chooses Gunner. I don't like that choice, just because Storm is a babyface and I don't really see Gunner as a heel. I'm sorry, I don't really see Gunner as a babyface. I see him as a legitimate heel, especially with his new look. It's just an odd chemistry to me. If anything, this will start a good feud between Gunner and Storm. The team Gunner and Storm is not a bad team. It's not an outlandish thought to have them two team up together. But Gunner as a babyface role, not too much. So maybe Gunner will call Storm the championship. Or call Storm the match and lead to a feud between those two, which I would be fine with. It would be a good spot filler between the two. Mickie James defeats the Velvet Sky to become the new Knockouts champion. Much needed. Velvet Sky really, wasn't doing much for the Knockouts division. She was being overshadowed by the Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim feud, so hopefully we'll see Mickie James. Seems like she's been planting the seeds for a heel turn, so we'll see if Mickie James will stay face for a while or make that turn. Then we have the AJ Styles Aces and Eights initiation. Angle comes out and talks down to AJ and Aces and Eights, and gets jumped in the ring and hit with the hammer by AJ. And then they celebrate and put the cut on AJ, and then they turn around to the other side to throw up the Ace and Nate signal, or hand signal, and then AJ just kind of stays there, unbeknownst to Ace and Nate, still has the hammer, and he takes out, and he hits Doc, Nux, and Garrett Bischoff. So, it's an interesting way to book AJ Styles. Kind of like a lone wolf type of character. I'm cool with it. He got some pops for it, and he's just kind of a man on his own. Reminds me of Sting back in the late 90s with WCW. So it's cool. It's a different way to book AJ Styles, and it just goes to show that the art of storyline development is not over, because when he lost the match last year and couldn't go for the title until Bound for Glory, many of us were thinking, wow, they actually have an idea of not booking AJ Styles and title hunt for a whole year, and it's working. It's working good. So, kudos to the writing staff and, for actually building a legitimate storyline that's interesting for us to see with AJ Styles. Real quick, a few matches on ROH. Mark Briscoe defeating Colin Delaney. Yes, the WWE ECW Colin Delaney looks a bit different as far as his shape is concerned, but didn't really have a chance against Mark Briscoe. Cherry Bomb defeats Mischief. Nigel McGuinness has a segment with the Briscoes, and then the American Wolves come in and says a brother versus brother match. They're not really brothers, but just kind of, just kind of fighting brothers, I guess you can say. So they kind of pose the match against them too for best in the world as well. So that should be pretty interesting. Then eventually the American Wolves and the Briscoes kind of go at it a little bit. And then Taji Ishimon defeating Roger Strong. Good match there, and impressive work by Ishimon. All right, Derek, you are going up first with the flavor of the week. So let us know what your thoughts are on the infamous Jim Herd. The infamous Jim Herd, Derek.
Jim Herd. All right. Well, we're back. Raw correspondent Derek. Thank you very much, Chris Featherstone, for giving us your input. We know you're not at the 100% right now. We all wish you the best. Again, Chris took a horrible chair shot not too long ago to his back. Messed him up. Not really. Tongue in cheek. But, yeah, we do wish him the best. He'll be back next week, probably full-time for Pancakes and Power Slams. Of course, I'll be there. Always count on me. But, yeah, let's go ahead with Jim Herd, flavor of the week. Jim Herd was probably one of the ill-minded wrestling minds of our time. What I can't get over is he had an idea for a tag team called the Hunchbacks. And the Hunchbacks, they could never be pinned because their shoulders would never be pinned to the mat. It's kind of a funny idea when you think about it, but who really do? Where would that go? How could they be defeated? How could they be medically cleared to wrestle if they had a condition to where their backs were hunched? Jim Herd, he started out, he was a regional manager for Pizza Hut. He has a past where he happened to be a station manager for a television company that hosted a wrestling show called Wrestling at the Chase back in the early mid-80s. However, that's all Jim Herd has. He was in charge of delivering pizzas. And we have the idea for the Hunchbacks. There was a bunch of others. Can you recall anything, Chris, as far as Jim Herd?
Yellow Dog was one of them, and I believe that he,
yeah.
Yellow Dog was very well. Yellow Dog was Barry Windham, I think it was, or the Ding Dongs is another one. He had, I think that he had, this is when Brett Armstrong, I think, was Bad Street. He was in a mask. There was another one that was Fantissimo, Fantasio or something, just random comic book, just some type of awful comic book of a promotion, and just the ideas that he had as a promoter, it just sabotaged the tradition and the heritage of pro wrestling, just to bring in these comic book characters, bad comic book characters. I mean, this is one of those comic book characters that, people don't really pay attention to. Yeah, Brian Pillman was the Yellow Dog, and just the awful gimmicks. A lot of people left because of Herd. Stan Hansen was another one. Big Josh.
Jim Cornette.
I don't know if you remember. Yeah, Jim Cornette was another one. Big Josh was Matt Osborne, as you know, as Doink the Clown. He had a gimmick. You know, he was a lumberjack, had a bunch of dancing bears. Just really, really awful. He broke up the. Sam Lane left because of everything. Broke up the Midnight Express because of it. And then what was interesting? And Flair has made this reference on a lot of his interviews that I guess Heard didn't understand the importance of Flair, and he wanted him to cut his hair, drop the whole Nature Boy persona, and become a Roman gladiator by the name of Spartacus. And Flair thought that it was the stupidest thing that he's ever heard in his life. And Flair, I mean, Heard just thought that, you know, Flair just was up as a main event star. This was 1990. This was around 1990, 91. And Flair, you know, won a number of world championships after 91, so he definitely wasn't over as a star. But it was just absolutely awful. Him and Flair thought it was absolutely ridiculous, and that's when the controversy came where Ric Flair was going to, Heard wanted the big gold belt back, and Flair wouldn't, you know, he wasn't willing to give it to him unless, you know, he paid him a hefty amount. And then Heard said you could keep it, and that's what led to the real world champion gimmick in the WWE. So, I mean, just the number of just the small span of years that he was in the WWE was, I mean, really the dark days. If you look at a lot of the gimmicks that was going on in just the 4 years that he was the lead executive there, was absolutely embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. And like you'd mentioned, you know, so many people left because of Jim Heard. And one of my personal favorites as far as commentary and just his shoots on people, Jim Cornette left. If Jim Cornette leaves and says that you're a piece of garbage, you know, I would take that to heart. Because there's no one more brass than Jim Cornette. And like you mentioned, Stan Lane left. He broke up the Midnight Express. A small known fact, the Road Warriors actually kind of split, and they left for the WWF because of Jim Heard. And the thing with Ric Flair, yeah, that's the whole controversy when Ric Flair brought the NWA title to the WWF because he couldn't stand Jim Heard. And you'd mentioned Jim Heard demanded so much money, I think it was $25,000 for the belt. And Ric Flair said, forget it, I'm not going to shave my head, I'm not going to put a diamond earring in my ear and be a gladiator. What would the world of wrestling be right now if Ric Flair would have listened to Jim Heard? It's awesome that he didn't. Yeah. In the early 90s, Flair had a couple-year run in WWE, very successful. If I remember, Flair said that was probably one of his favorite times in wrestling. Mm-hmm. He was really appreciated for what he was, and everyone knew Jim Herding was a sinking captain with a sinking ship. Luckily, WCW rebounded from it, but Jim Heard, yeah, I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, Vince Russo was probably almost as bad as Jim Heard, if not worse. I give Russo credit for what he did in the Attitude area with WWF, but after that, he was a total bust.
Yeah,
Jim Heard,
I think the Heard was worse just because Heard left no
ding dong.
Yeah, oh, the ding, oh, wow, yeah, the ding dong.
They wore bells, that's all they did.
Yeah, and like you said, the hunchbacks, I mean, they can never be pinned because they had hunchbacks. And just, what is that? I mean, who comes up with things like that? It just seems like he single-handedly had some type of vendetta against the WCW because he couldn't kind of make it his own, and he wanted to single-handedly just sabotage the promotion. I mean, I don't understand how someone could actually think that Ric Flair would be okay with becoming some Roman gladiator. I mean, like you said, if Flair would have decided to do that back in 91, just imagine how much of Ric Flair we wouldn't have seen as far as years after that. Now, I do think that Ric Flair would have rebounded But just the decision that he made to not do that, he ended up winning the world WWE Championship in the Royal Rumble in 92. So it was definitely a good decision for him to not do that, because he had a couple of title reigns in WWE. So I think that that was a very good decision, and I think that Jim Herd will always leave a legacy. At least, like you said, at least Vince Russo made a positive, albeit controversial at times, he left a positive mark in the Attitude Era, him and Ed Ferrara, but not too much in WCW. I mean, he was very he didn't do well at all in WCW either. But at the same time, at least he's been in the business for a while, and at least he, you know, there was some decent, you know, points in WCW. You know, of course, DDP, you know, I definitely think the DDP's run was fantastic. Goldberg's run was fantastic. So, you know, but those weren't necessarily Russo days. Russo days was more of the New Breed versus Millionaires Club, which was very off. It was just an awful, awful concept. Russo in the wing, the WCW title was incredibly awful. He's made some awful decisions in WCW, but I don't think he made a decision as awful as wanting Ric Flair to become a Roman Gladiator. Can you think of anything else that that Jim Herd did quite awfully?
Everything. I mean, I'm sure his teeth has probably tasted like garbage. So. No, I mean, I think we pretty much. If Jim Herd could hear this right now, what would he say? He'd probably say,
"Yeah, probably
you're
say
right.
That you're right."
No.
Yeah, exactly. We said that in sync. I think that you would say that we're right, because I would hope so. I would hope that he realized that his tenure in the WCW was an absolute bust.
It was a bust and lasted too long.
Yeah, 4 years was way too long. So there you go with Jim Herd. That's the the thing is he made a lasting impact. You know, in the NWA, albeit a bad one. But at least, you know, we can look back and look at those dark days of WCW and say Ric Flair did not become a Roman Gladiator.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, that's it for Pancakes and Power Slams this week. I'll let you wrap it up, Derek.
All right. Hey, again, thank you, everybody. Any last-minute callers, 347-884-8452. Pancakes and Power Slams would continue to love to hear what you have to say. In the chat room, tweets, call in, anything. Rival what we have to say. We want to hear your opinion. Your opinion matters. Even if it doesn't matter, we'll still listen and tell you what's wrong with it. But, again, this is great fun. Anyone who loves wrestling will love this show. We've got a lot of followers here on the chat room tonight. Followers on Twitter. I mean, we continue to expand. Chris has so much stuff coming up as far as to listen to actual wrestlers with their stories, wrestlers past, present, future. He's everything that embodies wrestling. Stay tuned. He's going to have awesome shows for us. Of course, I'll always be here. Raw correspondent, if I have to fill in, whatever I have to do to keep this thing going. This is what we live for. This is professional wrestling talk. This is the Chris's the Oprah of professional wrestling, not as an insult. So, but he's got your best interests and intentions, and this show is just going to blow up. It's going to get much bigger. It's going to expand. This is just the beginning. If you're with us now, stay with us. We are going nowhere but up. And it's people that log into the chat room, people that call in, people that tweet. We need your support. Professional wrestling needs your support. And anything anyone can do, donate. Chris has a PayPal account. Also, follow Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. He's got an article he puts up every week. It's interesting. Comment on that and then bring that to the show. Tell him what you think live. And let's just keep this thing going. It's been over a year that we've been broadcasting this live on Blog Talk Radio, Crave Wrestling. Keep it going. Everyone appreciates it. We appreciate your support, listening in, comments, concerns. Keep it going. Any last words, Chris?
You well said, man. You said it all. At Crave Wrestling Twitter, follow Crave Wrestling on Facebook. We got some fun trivia questions Derek and I put on there, and also some Who Was Under the Mask trivia questions on Facebook. Like you said, CraveWrestling at gmail.com is the PayPal account to give to your donations to. And like you said, some fun wrestlers up the pike. As you saw that we had the NWA Premier Champion Onyx on here, and then we had the Pope, Elijah Burke on the show. So we've got some more on the pike. Just stay tuned. Some more that's being worked right now as we speak. And I'm looking forward to having some awesome interviews. If you're interested in booking us for shows as far as a writer, a producer, on-screen personality, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. If you have any Flavor of the Week topics, let us know. Also, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Check out my Retro Wednesday articles as well as all the other articles that I write on WrestlingInc.com. Like Derek said, he's a phenomenal correspondent. He's just a very, very knowledgeable, very well knowledge in the business. I'm humbled to have him as a correspondent, you know, with his indie background, with his knowledge of the business, with his ability to say the ins and outs of actual pro wrestling based on working with Dean Ambrose, working with Sean Spears, working with all of the notable in talent and the current U.S. champion. And he's had it, you know, he's had the experience to know and to bring even more passion to his already, you know, high passion of professional wrestling. So the Crave Wrestling team, We love wrestling, we're passionate about wrestling, and we're here to make interactive radio as fun as ever. So call in, 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. Thanks so much for enduring me with this back surgery. I'm a little hoarse as well because that is one of the complications of surgery, is hoarseness for a while. But I'm toughing it out for the sake of all of the fans and all the viewers, and hopefully I'll be the recovery time's around 3 months, but hopefully I'll be not as banged up feeling next week to be on the full show. But if not, Derek did a phenomenal job today, and we'll work as a team as well. So thank you so much for listening to us. We will be here next week with more fun topics and just some good news coming up the pike about who we're going to bring up in the coming week. So stay tuned with us. Continue your support. Twitter, Facebook, Bleacher Report, Wrestling Inc. Crave Wrestling is the premier wrestling group. Pancakes and Power Slams is the premier wrestling show. Continue to support. Until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.